It was after this that he cultivated deliberate illusion and dabbled in the notions of the bizarre and the eccentric as an antidote for the commonplace.
All right. We are back with another episode of Antidote for the Commonplace podcast. Tonight, it's just me, one of your co-hosts, Matt, joined by Paul. We're going to be talking about World War Z, which we just saw last week. We're a little bit late to it, but we figured we'd talk about it. We talked about zombies quite a bit on the podcast, so we might as well talk some World War Z this week. So, World War Z, let's see, where do we start? I guess just run down some facts real quick here. This thing is based on a novel by Max Brooks called World War Z, but really it has absolutely nothing to do with the book. The book is kind of after the zombie apocalypse, and the author has wrote it as kind of a series of interviews with different people across the world and chronicling all of their different experiences and how the zombie apocalypse affected the world from, you know, not just, a lot of people died and there were these wars and everything, but it kind of talks about the implications on governments and politics and religion and everything else. So it goes into a lot of things like that, and there's definitely some political commentary and other things in the book. The book's a lot more, has a lot more to it, I guess, than the film, which is just really a globe-spanning zombie apocalypse movie where we're jumping from location to location. So that's probably the only thing that the movie has in common with the book, in that it truly is a world epidemic, you know, like the title, World War Z. But so, yeah, they took the title of the book, but they didn't really adapt the book.
Yeah, and that's one neat thing I liked about the movie as we're getting started here, too, was just the idea of it being around the world, because so often with zombie films, you're in a single city or area, and usually everyone's going on foot everywhere, so it was a very different feel for me watching the movie, seeing them on the planes, moving from country to country, and then like and just how widespread it was everywhere.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because like you said, most zombie movies are these isolated settings. You're in one farmhouse or, you know, the mall, like Dawn of the Dead. They're just primarily in these one locations and dealing with a small group of characters, which we still had a smaller group of characters here, but it was interesting to see the worldwide take and the, you know, like the UN playing such a big role in the film and how trying to take, I guess, somewhat realistic approach, like if this massive outbreak would happen, you know, how would we go about searching for answers and trying to put a stop to it? And so much of the movie is caught up with trying to track down the source, you know, Patient Zero, the original zombie, and figure out, you know, what we can learn from that, which doesn't really happen and doesn't yield any information ultimately in the film, but you know, I feel like that's probably how we go about studying diseases now, you know. Right. So that I kind of like that part of the film,
and that is a different part of it too, where there it's really almost more scientific in a way, or something, if that makes sense, because a lot of zombie movies that I've seen are just about, you know, struggling for survival and blowing heads off zombies and the, you know, scary aspects of zombies in different areas. And this is just all about Well, I mean, there's some of the other stuff too, I guess, but it's more about like they have a definite purpose, or Brad Pitt running around does, I guess, that he's trying to basically find, I don't want to say the cure, because it's not really a cure, but some way to reverse what's happened and really fix it right from the get-go.
Yeah, maybe not a cure necessarily, but some way to combat it or turn the tides, because they really do treat it like a war in this film, and even the language, you know, that they use, oftentimes they're, oh, we lost Boston, or, you know, this city is about to topple, or we're going to lose Russia, or whatever, you know, it's really, there's, I guess the other zombie films don't really show you the whole worldwide impact, where, you know, you're losing entire cities to the zombies and stuff like that.
Right, just being overran like that. Yep, that's true.
Right, which, I mean, part of, you know, I think part of the reason is, if you think to the older zombie films, some of the classic ones, you had slower zombies, and, like, literally slow, like, they walk slow, and the virus spread slow. Like, if you think about, you know, the original Night of the Living Dead and all the Romero zombie films, like, you didn't get bitten and then turn in 10 seconds. You know, you got bitten and then slowly over time, the virus or whatever it is, made you sick and killed you off. And then you were reanimated as a zombie, but it could have been, you know, hours. You could be walking around, bitten. So that's one thing I was thinking about when watching this movie, was like, oh, this is, like the scenes where Brad Pitt is driving the family, through Philadelphia, and all hell breaks loose. It really shows you how the zombie thing could spread so fast, because they bite somebody, and then, you know, 10 to 15 seconds later, they're a zombie, and then all of a sudden they're biting somebody else, and they can sprint, and they can dive. So it's like spreading like wildfire, which was neat to see how that's done, because a lot of zombie movies, you kind of pick it up partway into the zombie apocalypse and everything's all spread. So this, you kind of got to see the spread, but it really made me think, you know, in these other zombie movies, it seems like it can, the fact that it does take longer to turn kind of helps it spread across a longer distance, because you know, maybe they're transporting somebody and they don't know that they're bit, or they don't know that the bites cause it or whatever. And then that person turns and turns all these other people, you know, some faraway place. I was thinking in World War Z, like during the Philadelphia scenes, it just seemed like the virus spread so fast that it would almost burn itself out, you know? Like, when they bite everybody in the whole city, it turns them so quickly. Like, how do they spread to another city, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So one thing that's interesting about the way the zombies spread in this movie is that it almost seems like they had the scenes at the beginning with the animals being infected, and how it was like cheetahs like running down zebras and things like that. And you got the sense that as the humans were infected, it was almost like they were obviously drawn to sound, they're drawn to groups of people and things like that. It was almost like, I almost feel like the zombies were like predators stalking their prey and like running them down, jumping, all the moves they did that way. And I think that kind of goes to show a little bit about how it spread so quickly too, just the drive and the ravenous kind of nature of these zombies.
Yeah, and even towards the end of the film, where we see the zombies that don't have any like active humans to prey upon, they're kind of just wandering around, you know, like looking blankly, making their zombie moans and stuff. And the crew of the World Health Organization building or whatever is talking about, well, they don't have any stimuli nearby, so they're just kind of go dormant or whatever.
Right.
So then, I mean, that kind of goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah, they don't have anything nearby. They just kind of sit, I guess, or stare at the wall.
Right.
So but I think that kind of goes back to your point too, because, you know, once, like you said, a city is taken over, they're not going to necessarily herd around like Walking Dead or something, where they're just moving constantly from place to place. They kind of look like they kind of just, you know, stay pretty docile and things like that, which would make a spread maybe a little bit less.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. And they show scenes later on of like entire cities where they're just zombies standing around, you know, in the cities. And it's like, that made me think that, and the just how fast it spread in the Philadelphia scenes just made me think that a virus going that fast would burn itself out and would not be able to move on to the next host, you know. It would wipe out an entire city or, you know, a densely populated area, but then how does it get to the next city? So I know there was a line in the film that said something about airplanes being the perfect mechanism to spread the virus or something like that, but I didn't really get that, because if you're bitten, you turn so fast. Did you get bitten, like, right before you got on the airplane or something? It's a little weird.
That is a little weird. And this doesn't really answer that question, but I know they did have the zombies on the plane in that one scene, but I think that was more like it was already on the plane and they didn't realize it or something. But
yeah,
that would be a very rare thing, like you said. That wouldn't be on every plane there's going to be a zombie and moving around and stuff.
So. Right, yeah, that seemed more of like a one-off, you know, just happened to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a little weird. I mean, that, I don't think it's necessarily a real big criticism of the film that I have or anything like that. It was just something I was thinking about because I was kind of, in my mind, comparing it to other zombie films, of course, and thinking about how the virus spreads there and just thinking about it spreading so fast that you would almost have to, like, chain them along. Like, they're, you know, there's a car is trying to get out of the city, and they keep going after the cars, but they don't quite get them until the next city or something like that, you know, in order to keep it spreading. So
right. So.
And I guess while we're talking about how fast it spreads and everything, the zombies in this film are probably like the most ferocious and relentless active zombies of any zombie film that I can remember. You know?
Right. I mean, just by the very nature of, you know, headbutting the windows on vehicles and, like,
right,
breaking into stuff, and then just obviously the swarming nature and flowing nature, like almost like water with those things, just how quickly they moved, yeah, and jumped and everything else.
Yeah, I was really kind of taken aback by the, like, the way they would just dive and tackle and spear people, like, you know, just crazy distances and just at full speed, just knocking people to the ground and stuff. You don't really see that in other zombie movies. So much so that at first it was kind of hard to tell exactly what was going on when the zombie outbreak first started happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just shit was happening so fast and people jumping on top of each other. It was, I mean, obviously we know it's World War Z, we know it's a zombie movie, we know what's going on, but it was just kind of hard to tell it, during the action, what exactly is going down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the zombies. That's kind of how the outbreak happens, how fast it happens. It's all interesting stuff. One other thing while we're talking about the zombies, I do like how partway through the film they decide to throw out the word zombie and then use it throughout the rest of the movie, you know, because there was an email or something from, I think it was from Korea to somewhere, that just had the word zombie in it. You know, we've encountered zombies or something like that. Nobody takes it seriously. But then from that point on, all the characters start calling the undead or whatever you want to call them zombies.
Right.
Which a lot of times you're watching a zombie movie, but nobody actually says the word zombie, you know. Or I remember, like, in Shaun of the Dead, they say it, and more as a joke, and they're like, come on, don't, we're not using that word, you know, that's ridiculous, and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was kind of refreshing to see them just throw it out there, like, we all know that these are zombies, here, we're going to just throw that word out there, and that's what we're going to call it for the rest of the movie.
Right, yeah, and there is that in a lot of different movies, like you said, where they almost don't want to, they want to act like the people of the planet have never heard of this thing before, like, what is this crazy thing? But like you said, this one, they just acknowledge, yeah, these are zombies, and this is what they are, so.
Right, it's like they live in a world where they've seen all the zombie movies we have, you know?
Right, they bite people and you turn. That's basically the requirements to be a zombie, I think.
Yep, exactly.
So, at the bare minimum, at least, so.
Right. It was a little weird, too, of, like, you know, the classic zombie is they bite you, you die, you resurrect as a zombie. It was kind of hard to tell if you actually died or not. And I think they answered it later in the film. They started calling them the undead, or the, you know, you can't give a disease to something that's already dead and stuff like that. So I think they made it clear by the end that they actually were dead. But if you remember, like, that early on, that scene where Brad Pitt picks up the elephant or the bear or whatever that's making the counting down as he's watching the guy turn, it's not really clear to me at that point that the guy actually dies, you know?
Right, and they kind of just convulse uncontrollably, even leading, like, as they're transforming, I guess, and that sort of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it wasn't real clear that they're, like, you know, having their last gasp breath, like, being dead a second and then coming back like they do in Walking Dead or something. It was, like, this very violent transformation from living to suddenly whatever that other thing is, a zombie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Because at first, watching the film, I thought it was, okay, they're taking the 28 days later route where you're not necessarily dead, but you just turn into this sort of living zombie where they, because in 28 Days Later, which, have you ever seen that, Paul?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay. So if you remember, like, if you get, you know, even like drop of blood in your mouth or in your eye or whatever, you turn within seconds, just like this, and you don't die and then come back. You just turn into this, you know, rage monster basically, and then start owning people.
Right, and there really wasn't enough time in this movie to really determine if, like, that kind of blood or saliva or anything would make you a zombie. I know at one point early on, Brad Pitt was like, I think I got it in my mouth. He was worried about becoming one, and he didn't. So that would kind of indicate if he really did have something in his mouth that maybe it's just bites only that do it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, not necessarily scratches or, yeah, getting their blood in somehow into your body. I thought that was kind of neat too, though, how he realized, and it was like a callback to that scene I was just talking about where he had that stuffed animal that was counting down, so he knew, okay, this dude turned within, you know, 12 seconds or whatever it is, so if I count to 12 and I'm okay, then I'm good to go, but
right.
If I start to feel the change, then I'm going to jump off this building, which...
Right, that wasn't kind of a neat thing. I want to talk about that too. That was kind of a neat scene there when he was ready to throw himself off. He knew he didn't want to become that. That's one thing about the movie, too. At least three or four times during the movie, they had these scenes where, you know, Brad Pitt's looking behind him while he's running and, you know, just, you know, watching whatever important fact he needs to see.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of my criticisms, is just, like, how corny it looked as he's, like, keeps looking over his shoulder, and it's like, okay, well, we got 12 seconds before you're a zombie, or, you know, looking over his shoulder as he's seeing, like, oh, the zombies aren't chased. Like, they really wanted to make it obvious that he was seeing different things.
Yeah, a little almost like too obvious sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I kind of wish they would have done it more at full speed, and then, you know, how they went back later and showed him putting the pieces together, and they kind of replayed those scenes where the zombies just ran past the people that they didn't want to eat, you know?
Right, the people who were sick, yeah.
Yeah, like, I kind of wish they would have just sort of let that be in the background the first time and don't really call too much attention to it. And then, you know, if the audience picks up on that, great. But, yeah, to make it really obvious the first time and throw the flashback into us, it just seemed kind of like, yeah, we know, you know, it's obvious.
Right.
I don't
really like it when movies do that, when they, like, beat you over the head with something or make it, like, incredibly obvious that what they're trying to do. Because I always feel like there's a sense of accomplishment when you notice things in a movie before they really spell them out for you or something like that. Or, you know, or it's not at least obvious that they spelled it out, that kind of thing. So I actually didn't like the whole looking back scene he did a few times in different ways. I was like, this is, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of... Yeah. I mean, it insults our intelligence for sure at times,
right,
when films do that, you know. Sure. Obviously, there's some that are much worse than this one at that type of thing, but yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just you know, a couple other random thoughts I had about the movie. You know, once Brad Pitt makes it out of the city and begins his, you know, adventures around the world to figure out what's going on, when he took that phone and gave the wife the phone, you know, like, I'm going to call you every day. That's how you know I'm okay or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, tell her never call me on this because I'm going to be in some shit, you know? And and I even had that thought right then. I was like, tell her, like, and I guess he kind of did said, like, I'll call you every day, you know, maybe meaning, like, don't call me or whatever. And then, of course, right after he calls her and the connection is lost, she decides to call him right back, and I'm thinking, oh, of course, you know, and that, and then there it does. It plays out that awakens the zombies and not awakens them, but draws them to Brad Pitt's group and ends up, you know, getting a bunch of soldiers killed and everything. And I just thought, God, like, you had just had to call him so bad right then, right. Didn't you?
Right. Don't you know he's trying to save the world here? Do you really?
Right,
exactly. I thought the same thing. And I also thought, like, oh, Brad Pitt, you should have had that on silent. Like, what were you
yeah.
thinking?
Well,
you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. Because how many people died for that phone call? Probably at least 15 or something.
Yeah, a good number. Like, pretty much almost the whole team, I think, except right. him and the pilot.
And I would think a lot of people would be very pissed at him. I mean, not just for that, but I mean, like, some people gave their lives for, like, and they just met him, like, hey. And he's like, hey, I'm important. I know things. And they're like, all right, we'll sacrifice ourselves for you. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I understand it has to happen for the movie, but those are kind of, you know, was a funny thing to me, too.
Right.
Just how quick people are like, you know, take his word that he's real important and he's going to save the world somehow just after meeting him for 5 minutes or something or seeing him interview a crazy man or something.
Yeah.
So that guy in the cell was pretty cool too. What we're talking about, that whole scene thing, that I don't know what nationality he was or whatever, but
the former CIA guy or whatever.
Yeah, the guy yeah. in the cell who was kind of explaining everything to him and talked about the different ways that Israel and I think it was North Korea or something.
Yeah,
got ahead by their different strategies and things.
Yeah. I love the North Korea. Remove the teeth of every single citizen within 24 hours.
Right. And you're almost like, yeah, that probably happened.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You're like, if any government could get everybody's teeth out in 24 hours, it's probably North Korea.
Right. They probably wouldn't have the organization to do that, but they would have, like, the, you know, communist hammer or whatever to go and do it. So.
Right.
Like, yeah, I thought that was funny.
When they have, like, the... you must get one of these 10 haircuts for the, you know, for the power of socialism or whatever they call it. I could just pick which they have. I've seen before. I can totally picture them being like, report immediately to the local guy with the hammer that's going to knock all your fucking teeth out.
Right. I can totally see that, too.
Yeah,
That would have been interesting if they zoomed in on that country and went to that country instead.
Yeah, you just got, like, a couple random zombies with no teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Human beings just bleeding out of their mouths.
I don't
know what's worse, being a zombie or losing, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so what's after that, then? The trip to Israel from there? Is there anything else you want to say on that scene?
No, that's fine. We can talk about Israel. I did like the discussion of the 10th man policy and how, you know, if 9 guys agree with the same information, come to the same conclusion, then the 10th guy is supposed to stand up and say, you know, go for the opposite conclusion. So they got some sort of message from India basically saying we're fighting the undead and 9 of them are, you know, taking the route that pretty much every sane person would take of this is bullshit, and then the 10th guy has to step up and say, nope, we got to do something about this. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, I thought that was a neat thing, too. I thought it was weird how they were, not weird, I guess, but interesting how they were tying it into all the time the Jewish community hasn't been prepared or, you know, or kind of ignored the signs of terrible things happening in their history. And then they're like, all right, we've been screwed these 3 or 4 or 5 times or more. Like, this time we're not going to get screwed again.
Right. Regardless of how ludicrous the threat really sounds, or, you know, surely could not happen. We're going to just take the preventative measure anyway. And then worked out until they started singing in the, you know, loud microphone.
Right. Idiots.
Yeah. Which just goes to show you, like, nothing good ever happens from crowd singing together.
Right. Crowd singing and music and clapping hands.
Yeah.
Not good.
No. Just don't do it. Just
they could have been the one country that, you know, had their shit together, but they had to blow it 5 minutes after Brad Pitt walked in.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. I think as we keep going through the movie, you'll see, like, everywhere Brad Pitt goes, you know, the shit hits the fan even worse. And so you think, you know, everyone's just like, God, I hated that guy. Like, came in, killed our whole crew. Then he came into Israel. The whole country got sacked. Then he came to the, I guess the last stop was the, or with the plane, the whole plane went down.
Crashed. Yeah.
So it's just like one thing. And obviously the action follows the star, or that's not really indicative.
Right.
But I just get this funny, you know, image in my mind of everyone's like, God, that guy just sucks.
Wherever he goes, like, your city starts out safe, and then wherever he comes, it gets fucked up. I guess that's not really – probably the one where something really crazy happens is Israel. Because the other ones, I mean, the zombies, it's not like they had some really good measure against the zombies. But yeah, if he hadn't come and the phone hadn't rang, they wouldn't have lost all those soldiers.
Yeah, but it seemed like they had their shit together pretty well. Like, they were probably the most efficient group at taking out zombies that they showed in the movie.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
the hammers and stuff, yeah.
And they had the one guy that had the immunity to him too.
What?
Because remember, there was the guy that was like his first clue that that some people were like camouflaged, you know, to the zombies. Because the guy said he was like in the original room where all the people were turning into zombies. They never went for him. He was like surrounded by seven or eight of them or whatever. The guy that had like the problem with his leg.
Oh, is that what it was? That was his leg was about?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, I don't know what his leg was necessarily, or what disease he had or whatever it is, but something, because...
You know what I thought the leg was? I thought, and maybe I was totally wrong about it, I thought he cut off his foot or his leg or something to, part of his leg, to stop the disease from spreading, and that's how Brad Pitt realized you could do that.
Oh. Let's see, I thought it was the whole disease camouflage type thing, because he said that, because he asked him, you know, what was wrong with his leg, and he said it had been bothering him before the zombie thing.
Right, like it was an old injury.
Yeah.
And I thought he just didn't want to tell him that he cut
what
his leg off, or that he got, maybe like he was afraid to say he got bit or something, but I could have been totally off on that. Maybe he did have some kind of disease. I don't remember the part where he said like he stood in the room and they all went around him, so that would indicate that he did have some kind of illness.
Right, yeah, because he was mentioning that the doctor that they tied down or whatever bit the guys, and then pretty soon all the guys were bit. But he was kind of – they were all fighting him, and he was sort of like in the middle of the room surrounded by him, and they said like they didn't have time for his ass or whatever, that, you know, lucky bastard. They were just going for everybody else for some reason.
Okay.
So that's what I think he was, you know, same as the old man and the bald kid and everything.
That makes more sense then. Yeah, that would make more sense.
So, speaking of the whole camouflage thing, I did think that was kind of an interesting take, because I feel like an easier solution, you know, to the film would have been if they actually found a cure and they, you know, can use this to either kill the zombies outright, or prevent people from turning or whatever, some kind of actual cure. But it's, I like how, you know, Brad Pitt describes it. No, this isn't the cure. This is just camouflage. This is gonna, you know, help us to be able to fight them and win the zombie war, but not necessarily be a cure or anything.
Right. Yeah, I wonder what would happen. They never really showed this at the end or anything. I wonder what would have happened if, you know, someone injects themselves with, you know, whatever disease you want to choose. They walk around, they're not getting attacked. And they basically just start shooting them in, like, the head, just one by one. Like, would they just stand for that and be like, oh, all right.
Like, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that was his idea anyway, that they would start, you know, sending people behind enemy lines, so to speak, and just start taking them out without... without the zombies doing anything about it. I don't know. That's, I kind of thought, like, well, maybe that's the sequel, is, you know, they start doing that, but then the zombies, something goes on with the zombies where they're just not going to put up with that, you know?
Right.
They evolve or something, I don't know. So
are they, do you think they're going to do a sequel for this movie?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, it had a really big budget, so it had to make a lot of money. It had a huge production budget of like $190 million, I mean, which for a zombie movie is pretty ridiculous.
Right.
So it's pretty big, and so they've got to make a lot of money, and then, you know, but if it does make money, I could definitely see them doing a sequel, just because that's what they do with these big, huge movies. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that you could make a good story, but I could see them trying to do it, you know?
Yeah. I almost hope they don't. I think this kind of movie is better as a standalone.
Yeah. Well, I kind of liked how it ended. It didn't, you know, it didn't end on a down note, because Brad Pitt got back to his family, and we've got a, you know, a new weapon for the war against the zombies. But it also didn't end with a total resolution of, you know, we save the world and everything. It's like, there's still, you've lost millions, probably billions of lives, and still have to deal with all the zombies still out there, you know?
Yeah, I think it was billions, because I think they had the little ticker thing going by, and it was like, you know, 2 billion, you know, 900 million, and then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like 3 billion. It just kept going up.
Oh, yeah, time. That's right, yeah.
So, I'm sure that was billions of people.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So let's go back to Israel and we talked about how basically they either came in, the cool part about them, you know, the tenth man and things like that. And then before that, then after that, they basically get swarmed because of the noise. They come over the wall, and that scene where they make the zombie ladder of doom. And then the city just gets flooded literally by zombies after that. I guess that's pretty much Israel. Then they're running to the plane. He chops off the girl's arm in there too.
Yeah, which is a total, that also happened in 28 Days Later. Real early on in the film, one of the characters gets some blood in him or something, and before he can even say, like, wait, or something, the woman just starts hacking him up. But I think in 20 Days Later, she just straight up kills him because it doesn't work or something.
Yeah, I think she does just murder his ass, because I didn't get the impression that she was trying to cut a limb off. I got the impression she was just slicing him down.
Yeah, you know what, now that I think about it, yeah, I think you're right. I might be misremembering it. Yeah, I think she does. It is just a... Just fucking hacks him apart. But it is with a knife, so that, maybe that's what I was thinking. Or a machete.
The only time I can think
of... But it
does
happen in Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, with Herschel. That's the only time I could remember... I haven't seen a ton of zombie movies, but I've seen a decent amount. But that's the only time I could remember them cutting off a limb was The Walking Dead with Herschel's leg, which was kind of done, you know, quickly as well. And then Brad Pitt just... pulls out the knife out of his pocket and chops her down with one stroke.
Yeah. So. Which, do you think that if you went to go chop an arm, do you think it would, you know, like lightsaber style, just go straight off? Or you think it would, like, get stuck into the bone? You'd have to, like, repeatedly hack it.
That.
Yeah. That's kind of what I would
do. I thought so, too. I'm like, what is this woman made out of? Like,
yeah.
Is she jelly or something? Like, yeah, you're not going to use a large knife and just chop through someone like that.
Yeah,
I don't care how special agent your past history was, you know?
Right. Maybe she had, like, real brittle bones or something.
Yeah. We're probably too critical of different things.
I'm just joking around. That's, you know, that's movies. That's fine.
Right. So, and I'm sure she didn't like that. But because even if you got bit and you can't realize what's going on, someone just chops your arm off, you're not going to like that. At least not initially.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. No.
But I guess then after she thought about it, she's like, oh yeah, you did kind of save me.
Right. But, yeah.
So after that, the scene, they're pretty much still running to the planes. Right. And then for some reason, only, you know, they come over with like seven or eight guys, but only Brad Pitt and her get on the plane, which I thought was kind of funny too.
Yeah, I had the same thought. Like, why does he take one arm and which she's already less useful than the other people because she only has one good arm, you know. She's
right.
still a trained soldier, so I'm sure she's still, I'm not saying leave her behind, but, like, why doesn't everybody else jump on that ladder?
Right.
You know? It was
right.
It was odd.
I guess they just like, all right, this guy's real important. He's going to save the world. Let him in. And, you know, he's also taking care of that girl, too. And that's a nice thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of felt like it was like, we need another female character in here because his wife is back home, you know.
Right.
We can't,
oh, by the way, we totally skipped over this earlier. And we can move beyond the end of the plane crash after this, but... it was funny because I was coming back from a vacation, and for some reason I mentioned World War Z and how you wanted to see it or something this week to Corinne, and the guy on the plane next to us started talking to us about how he saw the movie, and he's like, yeah, you know, Brad Pitt, the only thing that really bothered me was Brad Pitt's wife was so ugly, she, you know, she would he would never date someone like that and stuff like that. And he was just real bothered by the actress that played Brad Pitt's wife and how she wasn't pretty enough to, you know, be across from him. And he just spent the whole movie thinking about how he couldn't imagine those two being married, and it really bothered him. So I thought that was, and then I saw her on there and I was like, I kind of see what you're saying. She's pretty plain. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess, but that didn't really bother me.
No, me either. I just thought it was funny. This one guy had such a big issue with it. It's like, it's a movie guy. They're not really.
Right. And he's not Brad Pitt in the movie.
He's not Brad Pitt. I don't even remember his name. Gary.
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah, with a G.
Yeah.
Jerry Lane. So. All right. So, anyway, they're in
apparently, those guys in the grocery store thought she was, you know, looking fine enough because they were ready to, like, rape her 2 seconds into zombie apocalypse.
That's right. We did miss. Man, we're jumping all around. Our timeline's way off.
Yeah.
I did want to touch on that that pharmacist guy too with the gun.
Yeah, the creeper.
He wasn't really a pharmacist, but he knew exactly what drugs did what and where they find them. So I'm going to contend that he has some pharmacy history. Maybe he was a pharmacy tech or something.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he worked there. Maybe, you know.
Right.
Like he actually, because he knew the exact drawer and everything. So I thought he. He just works there, and, you know, when he first comes out, you're like, oh, this is just some gangbanger guy that's, you know, about to threaten him for supplies or whatever, but turns out he probably had the gun on him just to make sure he wasn't going to turn into a zombie or something.
Right. That was kind of a funny scene. I think, I mean, besides a few, you know, the guys that you just mentioned that tried to rape his wife and stuff, in general, people were pretty friendly towards one another. Like, obviously, the guy at the pharmacy helped him out. And then later when they get into that building, that family takes him in. Like, a lot of times you get a lot of people who would just freak out and, like, lock their doors and wouldn't help anybody in those situations. But, like, during those quick early scenes, all these people are helping them. So.
Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. Like, a lot of zombie films, you know, they're not about the zombies. They're about how, you know, how does humanity turn on itself under these crazy circumstances, you know? And
right. And
really, yeah, this one was, I didn't really think about this till now, that for the most part, people did kind of cooperate, and you weren't seeing, like, one scene after another of people just trying to destroy each other to get more resources or supplies or whatever.
Right. It was almost like a selfless, altruistic way for a lot of people, too. Like, obviously, the guy on the plane, it's like, okay, I'm going to go take the fuel line out, and I know I'm going to die.
Right.
You know, Brad Pitt and the girl with one arm through the plane, who obviously don't get in the plane, you just assume they die. And then even when you go to the, whatever that place is at the end, like the place where they have all the disease control or whatever.
Yeah, the World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization, like even there, like, you know, guys that Brad Pitt just meets or that one guy comes with him into the other section, like volunteers his life to go do that kind of thing too. Like there's very much an element of teamwork and self-sacrifice in this movie.
I mean, hell, even like the pilots, like, you know, they're gonna go somewhere else and they just get a call, hey, take this man here, and they're like, okay, we'll do it.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, we just mentioned the World Health Organization. You want to maybe talk about the last part of the movie a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, real quick with the plane going down, right?
Sure.
Before, so, like, that was another thing, too. So, okay, you know, there's a zombie on board. They get through that. The plane goes down, obviously, because they had to blow a hole in it to get the zombies out. So those pilots probably died, too, and everyone on the plane died. So Brad Pitt really is, like, the harbinger of doom.
Yeah, only he and, like, one arm survive somehow.
Right, that whole plane, like, goddamn, why did we let this guy up the ladder? What were we thinking?
Right. Which, why, the thing I didn't understand, after the plane wrecks and Brad Pitt is hanging there, bleeding on the ground, and the seat next to him where one arm was sitting is just empty. So I thought, okay, one arm must have, flown out of the seat and is dead somewhere, and he'll either find her zombified when he wakes up or just find her, like, corpse. But instead, she's just alive, like, hanging out over there. It's like,
why did she help him?
Right, like, maybe she got thrown from the plane or something and just woke up over there, but I had the feeling she just, like, unbuttoned her seatbelt and just started walking around. It's like, that dude, like, cut off your arm to save your life and then, cleaned it up for you and bandaged it and stuff. Like, why don't you help this guy?
Right. I didn't think about that earlier, but that was kind of funny. She's just like, oh, you're okay. You're over there.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, though, if you did wake up next to Brad Pitt and he had, like, a... you know, 2-inch piece of shrapnel going through one side and out the other side, and he looked like that was unconscious, you'd probably be like, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that could be another, that could have been her thought process.
Right. And I really thought, speaking of that shrapnel, that was a little too much. Like, going through the backside of him and, like, okay, you're going to, like, the first thing I thought is, he can't do anything athletic from here on out, or else it's not going to be realistic to me at all.
Yeah. I immediately thought of Prometheus when she has the surgery and then is just running around jumping in things.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Like, that made me mad about Prometheus when they did that, and then when they did that with him, too, and they walked, you know, however many miles it was or blocks or whatever it was to the World Health Organization, I was like, okay, I can maybe believe that one arm helped you get there. But even if it's, you know, 3 days later after they said they bandaged him up and stuff, like, the thing I could think about was I had that appendix surgery a couple years ago. And just, like, that was, like, microscopic surgery, real, not invasive at all, hardly, like, as far as, like, you know, cleaning up the wounds and everything. And I remember how bad it hurt just to, like, walk around or be in a car and, like, feel the bumps and things like that. And I'm like, okay, this is, like, 100 times worse or more, obviously.
Yeah.
And for, you know, every move you make, you're going to be in extreme pain. So, you know, swinging around an axe and, like, just walking and running around like it's no big deal. But I get it. It's a movie. But they didn't have to put such a big piece of shrapnel in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Prometheus pissed me off more because there was no time factor. It was just immediately go to action mode, you know. Brad Pitt, at least, like you said, maybe had some time where they were fixing him up and stuff. So I definitely was something I was thinking about during the movie. It was like, really? He's able to do this stuff already? But it wasn't to the level of ridiculousness that Prometheus was for me.
Right. He wasn't jumping across large ledges and landing on his stomach. And
right.
So, yeah. Yeah, we'll let it fly. So, that... The zombie chick they had in that building in the room or whatever, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the the chomp, that kind of the black girl.
Yeah, the bug-eyed or whatever. She was, like, pretty scary to look at. That was pretty...
I just
thought it was awesome, her intensity. I don't know who that actress is, but that was pretty awesome. Just, I don't know, seeing her like that. But then, so they're in the health organization, and it's, you know, the two doctors. I mean, what did you think about that? That's a little scene before they go and try to save the day.
I was a little bit kind of weirded out by them. Like, why are they being so weird about things? You know, like, do they think he's there to kill them? Like, what threat is he posing? You know,
like,
we've got there's zombies all over the world we're dealing with and stuff. Like, you know, this dude shows up at the front door or whatever, and they're, you know, acting like he's some kind of terrible threat or something. I don't know. I was a little bit confused on that one, but
a little bit over the top.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it where it's just like, come on, like, we know you're going to convince him to move on with the storyline. Just, like, stop fucking around with us and just let him go, you know?
Right.
For the sake of the movie.
Right. Just to play devil's advocate on that, because I agree with you, first of all. But just to, like, try to think of it from another perspective, they did say later on that, like, you know, they lost their families and that sort of thing, it sounded like. Or they lost a lot of people they cared
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
And maybe they're like the ones that you'd see in a typical zombie movie. Maybe a couple days or weeks has passed, and maybe like they're real nervous about, you know, people coming into the building, and like there are a lot of people coming, and they have like the traditional apprehension you'd have about someone new coming into your group kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that could be maybe something, but they were very like, you know, put them under the light spotlight kind of thing and interrogate them. It was a little extreme, so.
Yeah, and not, I mean, I get the, you want to interrogate him and figure out who this guy is and everything, but just, like, the way the whole scene played out, where the one guy's just silent, and it just had this, just something weird about it that I just didn't really care for.
Right. They just had to show that Brad Pitt's character, again, was, very observant to realize, and very wise and clever to notice that, you know, you're not in charge, you're in charge.
Right. Yeah.
And, oh, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's like the magic key to get them to start, you know, communicating with you.
Right. And then the one time the phone comes in handy the whole damn movie is he can say, look, I got this special phone. I really am a special guy.
Right.
So like, oh, he's got a satellite phone. He must be real special.
Yeah.
So, then, you know, then they're happy with him. So he gets out of that jam. The cell phone almost kills him once, and then I guess it helps him with these fools.
Yeah, so. And it helped him on the plane, too, to get them to take him to where he wanted to go.
That's true. That's true. I'm kind of surprised that, like, a cell phone company or something, like Verizon or AT&T or I guess Samsung, I guess I'm a provider or a company or something, didn't somehow get their mark on that phone or something.
Yeah, because there was clearly other product placement. Like at the end, after Brad Pitt puts the disease into him, he goes and gets that Pepsi.
Right.
And he's drinking that, you know, big old Pepsi machine there.
Right. That was obvious product placement there, yeah. Wonder how much they paid for that. So after he convinces those two guys, one guy volunteers for some reason to help them on the other side. And so it's one arm Brad Pitt and I don't know the other guy's name.
Yeah, some doctor guy.
Some doctor good.
This is really when the film kind of turned, like, so the film definitely was not a horror movie, but it did... I felt like it kind of tried to be more of a horror movie for the last half hour, you know?
That's true.
Where
mm-hmm.
So, like, we had this big worldwide conflict, and he's jumping, you know, we had the big scenes in Philadelphia, then to Korea and Israel, and there's these big action scenes, and then the last half hour of the movie becomes this very small, you know, don't make any noise or the zombies are going to come horror movie type of style.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really thought of that when I was watching it, but that's a good point because they are creeping and sneaking and trying to be quiet and not be detected. And you know, you're wondering kind of, you know, is the zombie going to look over on that one scene, kept looking around and things like that.
Right.
There's like some definitely suspense there. Well, the rest of the movie kind of played out more like an action movie. This one kind of played out more like, from like you said, the horror aspect, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and maybe, yeah, I think, you know, you said suspense. Maybe that's more of an appropriate word than horror necessarily. But, yeah, they were definitely playing up the suspense in that last part. And I know they had to redo the ending, and that was a big reason why this film was delayed so long and everything. So I'd be interested to know what exactly was the original plan for the ending, and was it just another big action set piece, you know? And then what made them decide, oh no, we're going to go down to this smaller level and have the sneaking around type of thing.
Yeah, I didn't know they got the lid. I didn't know that, or they changed it at the end. That would be interesting to find out. So.
Yeah, and another thing I was thinking, like, so you go to this, you go down to the small level, suspense style, last third act of the movie, and nobody dies, though. You know, it's like usually that type of movie, it's like, you know, 10 Little Indian style, where there people are getting picked off, you know, one at a time, or you've got so many characters that you know are red shirts that are just going to get killed. But this, you know, you send the three characters in, and all three of them made it back safely.
Yeah, I felt like this movie in general was very friendly to the main characters. Like, none of Brad Pitt's family died, none of, you know, the main guys you walked around with. Typically, I mean, sure, the soldiers, I guess, are something different, and maybe that scientist at the beginning, but, you know, obviously they didn't kill a lot of people. You know, we were, well, I don't know. What do you think? I could be wrong.
Well, I think I agree with your point, other than the dude who accidentally shoots himself in the head.
Right.
Because
I think I talked myself out of it as I started describing it. Because I was like, that
guy. You remember that guy, yeah.
And even early on, the soldiers did, you know, get wasted pretty bad. I guess it was just after a certain point in the movie, maybe the midway point or something, no one with him died after that, maybe. Like, it was important.
Right. Like, yeah, tons of people died in the movie, but they're all no names or, you know, airplane passengers and stuff like that. But the one dude who's like, this guy's our best chance to figure out a cure, figure out how to stop this disease, and he's this young scientist guy, and, you know, he's talking against Mother Nature and how, you know, oh, she's such a bitch and this crazy serial killer and but she leaves the clues and we're going to figure it out, you know, and he's like so confident that they're going to find something amazing here in Korea, and then he fucking slips and shoots himself. I just thought that was awesome because I did not see that coming at all.
No, that was pretty awesome. And you're right. He was like the guy that was like, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Like, this is my minute. Like, you know, he was super excited about doing it, but wasn't prepared militarily or, you know, strategically. He had a brain, but didn't have, I guess, the street smarts, cred, whatever, to survive long at all.
Don't put your finger on the trigger. Yeah.
Right. Told
Brad
him.
Pitt even told him, man. You got to listen to Brad Pitt when he tells
that guy did that. The scientist guy did tell Brad Pitt everything he had to know to figure out the puzzle for the movie, though. Like, you know, the weakness is going to be, you know, their strength is really disguising their weakness, and
right, you know, they're leaving clues.
Yeah, he basically read the instruction manual to Brad Pitt, and then Brad Pitt took it from there. They're like, all right, let's get rid of this guy.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So they're in the
yeah.
Yeah, so they're in the thing at the end there. They sneak past the zombies. Eventually, they get detected. They run in different directions to great success. And then Brad Pitt finds himself in the room, right? There's nothing really besides that to say for that part.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think everybody in the theater probably knew he's going to inject himself and it's going to be fine because he's Brad Pitt, you know?
Right, it's going
like,
to be a happy ending.
Did you ever, like, for at that point, you know, when it comes down to the final climactic scene, did you think there's any chance in hell that he opens a door and the zombie kills him?
Hell no. I don't think anybody thought that.
Right.
In fact, if that would have happened, it would have been a whole different movie.
Yeah, I mean, had that happened, I think everybody would have been shocked, and people, yeah, would be talking about this movie for its crazy shock ending, you know?
Right, and I think maybe we would have liked it, but 90% of the population would have hated that fact that he died or something.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, sure. That's you know why everybody sitting there knows it's Brad Pitt. He's not going to die. He's going to pick the right disease. So that part kind of for me, I was just like, all right, we know, just get it over with, you know.
Right. You know what I thought they were going to do was when the camera moved, I thought they were going to – he was going to hold up the sign. I thought he was going to hold up a sign instead of saying, you know, tell my family I love them. I thought he was going to say, like, move the camera to the left if, you know, this is good, or to the right if it's bad, and hold each one up till they said good, you know?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, you know, give me a sign if it's meningitis or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Plus, Brad Pitt is so, you know, knows all this stuff during the movie and is, you know, obviously has a lot of background and intelligence. Like, you know, picking out the right one, it shouldn't just be some random eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You should have some kind of idea about what's going to kill you or be worse, you know? That's what I thought, too.
Right.
But,
try to figure it out based on the various people that you saw them not attacking. What were they likely to have, you know?
Right. Exactly. I don't have a huge background in that, but I feel like if I'm looking at, you know, things, I could say, like, oh, I think that one's real bad or that one's not as bad, especially since they were separated into, like, two groupings or whatever.
Right, yeah, because they made that reference, like, well, if he picks something from the, you know, grouping two, he's fucked, you know.
Right, yeah, might as well just die, like, but, yeah, so he does that, and then, of course, the chattering zombie is on the other side, bird zombie.
Yeah.
Is on the other side, and like you said,
also
nobody thinks that this guy is going to get him at all.
Right.
So that wasn't really... You know what's interesting about this movie overall, too, is that it's PG-13.
Yep. And yeah, so when you really think about it, there wasn't much gore or just really intense violence or anything.
Right.
Because most of the violence is big, you know, groups and... I mean, there definitely was violence. It's a zombie movie, but it was mostly these big CG scenes with the zombie wall of doom, like you said, and the zombies tackling people and stuff. But you're not seeing the, you know, like the Romero-style scenes where they're just tearing into people and ripping out intestines and that kind of stuff.
No, you don't see much gore at all. It's very much... you know, like you said, they're bit and then they turn right away. Or even when guys are, you know, look like they're going to be killed in a horrific way, it's usually off screen or to the side or that sort of thing. It's not.
Yep.
Or like when Brad Pitt's clubbing them with the thing, they're on the ground and you just see him clubbing, but you don't see the guy actually, the club actually hitting a zombie and stuff like that. So it was very like off screen and careful in that way. So, yeah. I can't describe what it is about the movie. Maybe it's the PG-13. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, Brad Pitt was the actor or that, but it just didn't feel like it was as brutal as a lot of zombie movies. Like it was just, even though, you know, the numbers and all that and how fast it moved and the way they attacked, it just didn't feel as brutal as
yeah.
other movies.
No, I think that's completely correct. Like if you look, you go back and watch, you know, 20 Days Later or Dawn of the Dead remake or even, you know, like some of the old Romero films, you're definitely going to notice a big difference. And I think a big part of that is just when you've got a budget that big, a studio's not going to commit to a rated R film because they're afraid it's not going to draw in the teenagers, you know, or the enough audience to make its money.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. That, and it was more like a blockbuster than a, you know, like you said, because of the budget and everything else, they had to be that way.
Right. Right, yeah, versus a, more of a horror movie or a gore movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's World War Z. So I did look up the Rotten Tomatoes score for it, and it had when I last looked, it had 67% of the critics liked it. So basically, 2 out of 3 critics like the film.
Weren't your numbers when you looked at it initially much higher? I thought you were saying like 90% or something like that.
No, I think we're talking about a different movie.
Oh, okay. So 67%, about 2/3. I guess that sounds about right.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I was thinking. I can see that, you know, 2 out of 3 critics or even just 2 out of 3 people. Would probably find enough to like about it to give it a positive review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like it was a decent movie. I don't know. I'm trying to think what I would give it. 3.5 maybe stars or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say like a 6 out of 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
So probably, yeah, probably pretty much what you're thinking.
Yeah, same kind of thing.
So, yeah, I mean, didn't regret going to the theater or anything, but wasn't, you know, blown away by it either.
Right. You know, I think I actually appreciate it a little more as we talked about it during this podcast, because there was different things that, you know, it really tried to do differently than other movies. It was just a different take on it in a different way. And so I guess I appreciate it a little bit more now than I did when I was leaving the theater probably.
Yeah. A different take on zombie movies, you mean?
Yeah, just the way that it was done, like we talked about at the beginning, being across the world rather than just in one place, the difference in the zombies. They did enough different things, the camouflage. There was enough differences that I hadn't seen before that, you know, made it definitely a worthwhile thing to add to the zombie movie list.
Right, and if you think about like how inundated we are with zombies now, you know, over the last 10 years, how many zombie movies have come out? It's just tons. It seems like every year another bigger one's coming out, and then tons of smaller zombie productions because they're pretty cheap to make and everything. And you just think, you know, at a certain point, it's hard to bring anything fresh to a zombie movie. So, you know, just a big budget zombie movie hasn't really been done like this. So it at least did bring some unique elements.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that's all I've got to say about it.
Yeah, I think we covered it probably more than we thought we would. So I guess that's a good thing. I enjoyed talking about it. So.
Yep, same here. Yeah, it definitely had a lot more to say than I thought we would.
Yeah.
So, which is good. So we've got more episodes coming up in the following weeks. We'll probably talk about some more summer movies. I know the Wolverine movie's coming out pretty soon. Edgar Wright movie, The World's End, is going to be coming out in August, I think. So probably talk about that. All right. Well, that's it for us. See you next time.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in.